Amen. So Christmas for Christ, I was thinking about some of the things that Christmas for Christ does. I was speaking with my wife even yesterday. I was remembering a time my mother had a very serious health problem. And she was in the hospital, and my younger sister and I were there in after the operation, and we were in the room with her. And she had already filled out the papers, and her and my dad had already signed up. I found out later about this as I grew older, but they had already prearranged that if she were to pass, that my younger sister, who was about, 5 and I was like 8 at the time, so young children, I think of them as Brother Dyke's age children. So that was myself and my younger sister. And what they had prepared was my dad was not able to take care of us. And so we would have been, we would have gone to the Tupelo Children's Mansion in Tupelo, Mississippi. Amen. It's one of the ministries, one of the many ministries that North American Missions supports, have for a very long period of time, for many decades. They've been a part of that wonderful ministry of raising children with an apostolic Jesus name, godly influence in their life. Amen. Praise the Lord. I'm pretty glad I didn't go to the Children's Mansion. I wouldn't have met my wife growing up in Mississippi. Praise the Lord. But I do support the ministries that our United Pentecostal Church supports. Amen. Praise the Lord. Would you stand with me? I've got just two verses to read for the beginning of my text today. 1 Peter chapter 4, which I'd like to turn your attention, beginning at verse 12 and also verse 13. Amen. 1 Peter 4. Oh, time out. I forgot to announce something I need to announce. I'm going to do it right now. On Friday, we are at 10:30. We're going to, or 10 o'clock, excuse me, at 10 o'clock, we're going to have a prayer meeting all night long. Our church has never done this before. But if you can come for an hour, if you want to stay the whole time, praise the Lord. But I encourage our people, if you're a member of this church, I'm asking you to support us in prayer. Amen. If you can come by for just a little while, I hope you'll come by. If you're able and want to stay the whole time, well then God bless you. You're welcome to stay the whole time. Amen. But by prayer and fasting shall these things be. Amen. Anybody want to see your family saved? Amen. Anybody want to get a problem solved in your family? Anybody want to see a miraculous move of the hand of God in your life? Anybody want to go further in your walk with God? Amen. Praise the Lord. Then by prayer and fasting shall these things be. Amen. Praise the Lord. So I hope, and yes, we're going to pray more. And yes, we're going to, as a church, pray together. But it's also individual. There's a time that us individually have to decide that I will commit myself to serve the Lord in prayer and in fasting. Now, I know our corporate church encourages people to fast on Monday. And I hope many do. But this week, it's a special week. And I'm asking our church members that if you would pick a time, Monday plus some other period, be it one meal, be it one more day, but be it some other time in your life this week that you will set aside to fast. That is, not eat food and to pray. Amen. Praise the Lord. Fast and prayer. I'm calling our church members to do this week. Amen. Praise the Lord. I hope you'll join me. Praise the Lord. My text, 1 Peter chapter 4, beginning at verse 12. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial. Doesn't that sound fun? Yeehaw, someone said. Which is to try you as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. Praise the Lord. In our elements class and session, in the first session that I have been teaching, there is a segment that we talk about the fiery trial. Amen. What is it? That is my topic today. The fiery trial. Would you pray with me? Lord, I love you. I thank you. We're asking even now in the name of Jesus Christ, Lord, that you would show us, Lord, by your word, that by your spirit, Lord, God, that you would quicken my mind and the words that I would say and open our hearing to hear with our hearts, Lord, to hear with our soul, Lord, that we would comprehend and know, Lord, the meaning, Lord, that you would have us to know today. Lord, we ask even now in the precious name of Jesus, Lord, for your will to be done. Thank you, Lord, for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Fiery trial. You know, somebody, in fact, we have asked that question in every single elements class to our class, and different responses have come back. People think different things about what the fiery trial is. Well, God is going to bring us through the toughest trials that will ever come in our whole life. Amen. And different people are going to go through different things. But it doesn't matter who you are, but it does matter that God is with us. That even in the tough time, God will be for us. Amen. You see, God is so great. He's so marvelous. He's so wonderful. He is so knowing. God knows ahead of time what we need. God knows right now what you're going to go through. Amen. And God's amazing. God's ways are higher than my ways. I don't always understand all the things that are in the Bible or are about God, but I do trust God. Amen. I do trust that He is going to keep His word, that He will be with us. Amen. God has given mankind two fabulously amazing gifts. One, the gift of His love. God loves us unconditionally. God loved us before we loved Him. And God will always love us. Amen. And number two, this amazing gift is the gift of His grace. Amen. God has given us these gifts. God desired, He wanted a people that loved Him by choice. That you would choose to love the Lord. Amen. You know, when I was a young dad and I had young children, I would bring them to church. When I was a young child, my mother brought me to church. It wasn't my choice. It was because Mom said, let's go. We went. Amen. It was something that as a parent I did, as a parent she did, my mom did, as there are parents here today that bring their children to church. And I think that's right. That's in order. That's part of their obligation. There is to raise up their children to know who Jesus is. But then, after I've been in the church. I've heard the preaching. After I've felt the Spirit, it's up to me to know God. Amen. I had to make my own choice. Amen. It's not always been easy. Sometimes there is hard trials in life. There are things that hurt terribly, and sometimes we're in a bad way, but God is still with me. Amen. If you want to feel the awesome feeling of being loved, you must allow the person the right to walk away. Amen. My wife sometimes will say, well, I need to get up. I need to go do this. I need to, you know, kind of jokingly, but knowingly, I'll say to her, okay, fly away, butterfly. Because if that butterfly comes back, she loves me. Amen. She always comes back. Amen. You got to be willing to let that thing go. And when it comes back, I'll know that person loves me. Amen. If God lets you go, it doesn't mean that He doesn't love you. But if you'll come back, you love God. Amen. It's meaningful. Praise the Lord. So He blessed us with the right to choose our own paths. Every one of us has a free will. Every one of us can and should, in my opinion, choose to serve the Lord. But there are those that choose not to. It's our choice. Consequently, our sinful nature, some people choose poorly. Because of our nature. It's our nature as human beings to be selfish. It's our nature as human beings to be carnal. It's our nature as human beings to do things that are not right in the sight of God. And that because of our nature, sometimes people choose poorly. So if God wanted to love us, He had to provide grace. Amen. Because people sometimes choose poorly. God made a way that He could fix it. When we mess up, He brings us back. He made a way that we could be redeemed. He made a way that we could be right with God again. God has always will, and He does now and will always have a way for us to be redeemed. Amen. He, Jesus, made the way. But as free will agents, we have tests that come in our life. Tests that will be our own choice. We get to decide what we will do, where we will go, how we will react. It's our choice how we respond to every situation. Amen. So Peter says, don't think the fiery trial is something strange. Every single one of us will have tough times. We have gone through, if you've got any age on you at all, I think my 5-year-old granddaughter has gone through some tough times. To her, it was really bad. My brother pinched me, and it hurt. To her, that's a tough time. Well, baby, there's more to come. There's more tough times ahead. But I tell you what, it's going to be okay. Amen. It's going to be okay when you go through a tough time. Praise the Lord. fiery trial. If you look that up, it has a definition that includes ignition. Specifically, yet I like this word, smelting. Anybody know what smelting is? That's when they get the metal, the elements, the rocks, if you will, so hot that the rocks melt. And it becomes metal. Amen. They'll take the gold nuggets or the dust and they'll put it in the smelter and the impurities will be wiped away and the purity of the gold that is left becomes more precious because of the removal of the impurities. Amen. Many different metals used in many in automotives and in automotive industry and in the defense industry and the submarines that I helped to build. They use very special and specific metals for very specific purposes. Amen. But they use a smelting process to melt and to meld together particular elements that it becomes the metal of choice. Sometimes there's no other thing known to do a better thing for that purpose. What is God making you to do? What is God having to be done in your life? For God to use us, He wants to bring together the right elements in our life. He wants to bring together the right spiritual things that we need and then wipe away the impurities that through the smelting process, God would make us what He wants us to be. Amen. That melting process is not, it's not always nice. It's not always comfortable. Amen. But it is right. It is good. Amen. When things get hot, though they, yes, will be tough, Scripture is telling us to rejoice. We can be glad when God brings us through that tough time. Because on the other side of that tough time, God is going to build into us what He gives us during that tough time. You'll know that God can bring me through. You'll know that God is for me and with me. That God has never forsaken me. It tells us to rejoice through that fiery trial. Why? Because we're not alone. Because God is with us. God is for us. God never leaves us or forsakes us. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse beginning at verse 12. Or verse number 12. No, I'm going to read 13 too. And 14 too. Unto whom it is revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us. Somebody point at the right middle. This is God's word talking to us. But unto us. They did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you. I'm telling you right now, God is with us. With the Holy Ghost. There's a bunch of us here today that have had that experience. God has filled us with the Holy Ghost. The presence of God has touched our lives. We have experienced what God said would come to pass. We've been filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost. He's talking to us. The body of Christ, the church. Those filled with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. This Christ in you thing, this being filled with the presence of God, it was amazing even to the angels. They desired to look into it. Peter says the next verse, verse 13, wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind. Be sober and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. It is an amazing thing to really know who Jesus is. It's the greatest thing in my life that I don't wonder. I know who God is. I know that Jesus is the Almighty God. It's a revelation. God opened my understanding that I can know who God is. Jesus the Christ. Verse 14, going on, as obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance. Don't keep living like the world. Man, they're living that way because they don't know. I am absolutely, altogether, completely convinced the only reason somebody's not living for Jesus is because they don't know Him. They don't know Him like I know Him. If you knew Jesus like I know Jesus, you would be living for God. You would know who God is. And you would want to. You would desire to. You would do the very best that you can to live for Jesus. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance. Verse 15, but as He which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. That's not just what you say, it's what you do. It's who you are. Amen. It's everything. I want to be like Jesus just as much as I can. I want to be like Jesus in every portion of my life, in my relationships with my family and my work at my employment, you know, on the street, in the store. I want to be like Jesus as much as I can. Everywhere, all the time. Life is full of varied twists and turns and things that happened, and some of those things will test us. The bend in the road is not the end of the road unless you fail to make the turn and you go in the ditch. I don't want to go in the ditch. I want to be led by the Holy Ghost. I want God to steer me away from the obstacles, to steer me around the hazards. I want God to pick me up if I make them when, not if, when I make a mistake, that God would help me back on my feet, that God would bring me back on the path, that He would help me again to serve Him. It's not if you're going to make a mistake. Of course people make mistakes. You're humans. You make mistakes. Well, then get back up and serve the Lord. If you make a mistake, get back on the path. If you go the wrong way, get on the road again. You know, and there is a thing that we need to learn from our mistakes. Amen. I hope you'll learn from the mistakes you make. Amen. The key to victory when there is a smelting of trouble all around you, when things seem to be melting down, the things that you've known, the things that you've trusted, the things that it was your normal life, what you had for very long, what you may have already known before, but sometimes those things get melted and molded into something that yet God will do in you. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hear me now. We live in a wild spiritual time. We really do. Our minds are bombarded from every side, seemingly every day. My granddaughter, Rachel, 5 years old, told her grandmom that at school they have given her her own computer at 5 years old. Daddy, do you know your daughter has a computer? She does, at school. It's hers. And she's really happy to have that computer. I'll tell you what, from small children, in this day, our children have more access to more things than the kings could know in times past. Amen. One day's use on a smartphone for any adult and any teenager in here. One day's use of that smartphone is probably more information than any person that lived in their whole lifetime in the 17th century. In one day's use, there's more available to that person than was ever conceivable in decades past. We need to learn, all the more reason why we need to learn the art of thinking right thoughts. We got to gather in the constraints of our mind to be focused on things that are of God. It's like never before. There has never been a day like our day. Today is unique to this generation. Paul told the church at Thessalonica, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, let me read from verse 11. And that ye study to be quiet. Man, you don't have to have noise all the time. That ye study to be quiet. And to do your own business. And to work with your own hands as we commanded you. Keep still. Refrain. I don't know if this is a real word, but I'm going to use it. Meddlesomeness. Is that a real word? I don't know. But I think you get my point. Man, we don't have to put ourselves in every single situation going on in the world. But we do need to focus on what Jesus is doing in my life. What God, what I am doing with God in my life. To Timothy, 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 13, another verse. Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. That's teaching. It's talking about the Word of God. It's talking about learning the things of God. Verse 14, neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy, with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. Verse 15, meditate upon these things. That means continue thinking about the things of God. To reading, exhortation, and doctrine. About the teaching of the Word. What the Word really says. Think about it. Let it be in your mind continually. Think about the things of God. Meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them. That thy profiting may appear to all. Amen. Stay focused on the things of God. We are so easily distracted. You know, they make those programs that are on your smartphone to grab your attention in little tiny, you know, 2 minute and 5 minute little bites. And guess what? If you keep watching, there's going to be another little 2 minute or 5 minute thing. There's going to be another one after that and another one after that. And pretty soon you've been sitting there for an hour. And what have you been doing? Stay focused on the things of God rather than on the things in the world. We got to control our own mind that things of God has room in our lives. You know, the things of the world will crowd out everything that is godly, if it can, in your life. It's you and me that we have to decide for ourselves if we will serve the Lord, if we will focus upon Him, if we will do according to His will. Make no mistake about it. Job chapter 14, verse number 1. Man that is born of a woman. That would be every guy in here. Is of few days and full of trouble. Little kids can figure out how to get in trouble. You don't have to teach them that. You got to teach them. You got to teach them to do good. You got to teach them what is right. Amen. Praise the Lord. When trouble is swirling around you, and there's people here today that trouble has already arrived. Stuff has already happened. You're going through it right now. There's trouble on every side. There's trouble in your life, before you, behind you, on the side of you, above you, below you, everywhere there's trouble. When there is trouble swirling all around you, first try to discern, try to understand where that trouble is coming from. Four options. One, the first one, and often and it's common in life, life happens. I'm getting older. I'm not really, there's other people here older than me. Not many, but there's some. My body is not what it used to be. I can't do all those things anymore. Is it life? Some of those things are just life. You keep living, you'll experience it too. Is it life? Sometimes it's self. You know, we can and many times are our own worst enemy. It's we that are the problem. If we'll just open our eyes and see, amen. It could be life, it could be yourself. Could be Satan's temptation. It could be God is doing something in your life. Life, self, Satan, God. Could be one of those four things. Again, I refer to the words of Peter, 1 Peter chapter 4, beginning at verse 14. If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the Spirit of God. For the Spirit of glory and of God resideth upon you. Tells us to be happy. On their part, he is evil spoken of. People in the world, I've got people I've tried to witness to, and they tell, I don't want to hear it. I believe my own way. They don't even want to hear about who Jesus is. Well, I am absolutely convinced they don't know Jesus like I know Jesus. If you knew Jesus like I know Jesus, you would want Him in your life. Amen. I want Jesus in my life because I know Him. Praise the Lord. For the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part, He is evil spoken of, but on your part, He is glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer or as a thief or as an evildoer or as a busybody in other man's matters. Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed. But let him glorify God on this behalf. For the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? I'm okay with going through some trouble when I know that God is on my side. I'm okay because I know that God is going to see me through. I know that I have been redeemed. I know I've had an experience with God. I've repented of my sins. I've been baptized in Jesus' name. I've been filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost. I know who God is. Well, what about them that haven't had that experience? Well, I pray they do have that experience. That they will know who God is. First Peter chapter 2, verse number 19. Jumping down just a little bit. For this is thankworthy. If a man for conscience toward God endure grief, suffering wrongfully, for what glory is it if when ye be buffeted for your faults, ye shall take it patiently? But if when ye do well and suffer for it, ye take it patiently, this is acceptable with God. I'll tell you what. When you mess up and make a mistake and you got to pay the price, just take it. You got to pay the price. If you were speeding, pay the ticket. Amen. If you didn't stop at the stop sign, pay the ticket. But if people are persecuting you because you go to church too much, because you love the Lord, God is well pleased and you taking that. Don't strike back at them. Don't degrade and rebuff them. Go ahead and take it in the name of Jesus, and God is well pleased with your actions. There is not a promise of rest for the weariness of the self-inflicted pain. Sometimes we do it to ourselves. Well, then that's our own fault. And God will forgive you and draw you back. But when you suffer for Jesus' sake, you can be glad in that because God is for you and with you. The way of the transgressor is hard. There really is a principle, a law, if you will, of sowing and reaping. You sow and reap bad things, guess what? You're going to grow bad stuff. You sow and reap good things, God is going to give you good things. Let me talk to some of you who have had many, who have been weary of the enemy. You've already had experiences that are trying, that are testing you. Paul had troubles as well. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse number 7. At least I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations. Paul really did know who God is. He had an abundance of revelations. There was given unto me a thorn in the flesh. Doesn't really tell us exactly what that was, but I know it was a trouble in his body. The messenger of Satan to buffet me. Least I should be exalted above measure. Satan hates the soul of saints. And sometimes we get walloped by life, by circumstances, by things that are around us. Sometimes it's a spiritual matter. And sometimes it manifests in our flesh. Yes, it can be a spirit of infirmity. It's possible. I got scripture for that. Luke 13, beginning at verse 11. And behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity. 18 years In my book, that's a long time. And was bowed together and could in no wise lift up herself. She was in a bad way. And when Jesus saw her, he called her to him and said unto her, "Woman, thou art loosed from thine infirmity." And he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. Amen. I'm telling you, God can and does do the miraculous. This woman had the problem, the trouble, a long time. It was a spirit of infirmity, 18 years. And in a moment, God healed her. I tell you, God is a miracle working God. Praise God for His power. If Satan is attacking you through your flesh, that's not a sign of weakness. It could be you're getting old. It could be Satan is attacking you. But it is a biblical precept. God can and is able to deliver you. At times, God's Spirit moves and destroys the hold that the spirit world has on you. You can be delivered from drugs and alcohol. You can be delivered or healed of diabetes. You can be healed of cancer. You can be healed of a broken body. I tell you, God, it's not hard for God either. God is able. That's what Paul wanted God to do. Paul wanted God to heal him. We want God to heal us when we are in infirmities, when we are broken or weak, or when we are in trouble, when we are in a fiery trial. 2 Corinthians 12, verse 8, "For this thing I besought the Lord thrice," three times, "that it might depart from me." Prayed again and again and again. And he said unto me, "My grace is sufficient for thee. For my strength is made perfect in weakness." To my knowledge, he never did get healed. He did have that problem. God helped him through that problem. God was with him with the problem. God, you can handle it with God on your side. You can make it with God is for you. Amen. Praise the Lord. Keep a right spirit even when you're in a fiery trial. Are you mature enough in your faith to grasp that sometimes God is working through the struggles in your life? That God can use what you're going through for His glory? It's absolute, we don't like it. Nobody likes to be sick. Nobody likes to be hurt. Nobody likes to be in a fiery trial. Nobody likes to go through the smelting process. That God would mold into us what He wants there to be, and the removing of the impurities. Man, it's a hot process. But I tell you, it's God's choice. Amen. I can live with God's choice for me. Amen. God is with me. God is for me. I would rather have Christ with a cross than no Christ at all. But what makes it so hard is when we have a lack of understanding. Oh, if God really loves me, why am I so sick? I'll tell you what, God still loves you even if you're sick. God still loves you even when you're weak. God still loves you in every manner that you can be. God's love is not predicated on your ability to do anything. Nobody knew Jesus better on earth than his disciples. They lived with him. They talked with him. They ate with him. They were there with him. Yet, Luke chapter 18, verse 31, then he took unto him the 12. That's all of the disciples mentioned here in the scriptures. And he said unto them, behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and all things that are written by the prophets concerning the Son of Man shall be accomplished. God's word will come to pass. The prophecies will be fulfilled. For he shall be delivered unto the Gentiles, and shall be mocked, and spitefully entreated, and spitted on. All those things were prophesied. They didn't want to hear those things. They didn't want to believe those things. They didn't want to go through that trouble. That's a fiery trial. Verse 33, and they shall scourge him and put him to death. And the third day he shall rise again. You see, no one can say that Jesus was blindsided. You know, that he didn't know what was coming. Jesus told him ahead of time what was going to happen. He explained to them the prophecies that were to take place. It's going to happen shortly. These things will come to pass. No one can say that he was in the wrong place at the wrong time. No, God, Jesus was in the right place at the right time for the right purpose and for his cause. It's his will that was being done. The will of God to be fulfilled. Jesus knew exactly what he was doing. Luke 18:34. And they understood, get this now, and they understood none. Someone say none. This is absolutely amazing to me. And they understood none of these things. The things that Jesus just told them was going to happen. You know, the bad part, the fiery trial, the being persecuted, even unto death. They didn't understand it. And this thing was hid from them. Neither knew they the things which were spoken. They heard it, but they didn't receive it. They knew what he said, but they didn't understand it. Their mind couldn't comprehend what it was that Jesus had already said. There are those of us that have heard the word, that have read it ourselves, and yet we still don't understand. We still don't know what God is doing. Sometimes you can have a close walk with God and still not understand what he is doing with all those things all around you. Why am I in this trouble? Why did that happen to my loved one? Why am I here today? What happened that put me here? How come? When you're in that spot, when you find yourself in that fiery trial, when you are in that place, we must trust him. It's been talked about in this service. Even in the fiery trial, we must trust him. Get this now, and not be afraid. It was talked about in the very beginning of this service in our prayer time. Don't be afraid. Praise the Lord. Do not be afraid. I tell you, God is with us. He's for us. He ate the Last Supper, and when they retreated to a quiet garden afterward in Jerusalem, outside the Mount of Olives, they brought the harvest olives to this very garden, then crushed the precious yellow oil from the pulp of that olive. That place was called Gethsemane, the oil press. God wants good stuff to come out of you. God wants good things to come out of you. The anointing, the oil, the precious fluid, the precious anointing oil to come out of you. They brought the harvested olives to this garden to crush them. It had precious yellow oil. But those olives had a hard pit. They had a hard core center. I'll tell you what, the center of a man is a hard place. I'm a man, I know. There's a hard place that only God can take care of. It's the pit that's in the very center. That stone wheel would crush those olives and press out the precious oil. I'll tell you what, Jesus was broken in Gethsemane. Amen. Make no mistake of it. Jesus was man and he was God. He had a dual nature. Acts chapter 2, verse 36. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus, whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. The sovereignty of flesh could have rejected Calvary. Jesus could have refused to go, but he didn't. He allowed the presence of God to lead him through the fiery trial. He was not committed to being tortured. He didn't want that part. But he was committed to our salvation. And they went together. It was by his sacrifice that we are saved. It's by his stripes that we are healed. The stress of his impending torture caused him to sweat blood. A condition called, and I'm not sure that I can pronounce this correctly, hematidrosis. I don't know if that's the right way or not. I have it spelled out here. It occurs under severe stress. His flesh was under severe stress that caused him to sweat drops of blood. And Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. The Holy Ghost will not keep you from stressful situations, but it will keep you from making bad mistakes during those stressful times. The Holy Ghost will help you go through the fiery trial. You will come out on the other side. God will deliver you from it. God will help you in it. We sing, "Oh Jesus, use me. Oh, don't refuse me." But often we underestimate the cost. Our neighborhood, our workplace, our family, our friends are not blessed by the Holy Ghost in you, but rather when the Holy Ghost comes out of you. Amen. When God works through you, you bless your family. You bless your co-workers. You bless the stranger that you just met. We must be crushed so that the Holy Ghost oil can flow through us. That hard pit in the center has got to be crushed. Psalm 51, verse 16. For thou desirest not sacrifice, else I would give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. Tenderness and brokenness is the contrast to stubbornness and rebellion. Musicians, would you come? I have one more place in Scripture to read. 1 Peter chapter 1, beginning at verse number 4. Peter said, here in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse number 4, I'm going to read down through verse 10. Would you stand with me? I'm preparing to close. And to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith. I tell you, God keeps us unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, though you're in a fiery trial, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. I'm telling you, it's all going to be worth it one day. Whom having not seen, ye love. In whom though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. Yes, we can be saved. Of which the salvation of the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied the grace that should come unto you. I'm telling you, the Old Testament prophets would have loved to have had this experience. They were looking forward to the time that would come when this is fulfilled. It's God working in us. It's God who's always for us. Would you lift your hands with me? Even if you're in a fiery trial, you can know that God is for you. God is with you. God will never leave you. He'll never forsake you. He's for us today. Would you come? Let's fill this altar in the closing moments of this service. Let's lift our hands together and magnify God. Lord, no matter what life brings, no matter what happens, Lord, I want to serve you. Lord, even in a trial, I love you. Jesus, come and yield yourself. Make yourself pliable unto Him. Let the Holy Ghost be put in you. Love the Lord with me as we worship. Oh, wonderful Savior.